Hi, everyone. I want to welcome everyone to our teleclass on picky eaters. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hillary Perlman, and I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing for Mommy Bites. We're really excited for this teleclass today, and our expert is fabulous, and I can't wait for you to hear from her. But before we do that, just a little bit about the format and the logistics of our class in case you're new to the teleclass series. Right now, you are all muted, so you don't need to worry about any background noise because we have people calling in from all over the country, and we've got moms who are maybe at lunch break, moms that might be at work, moms that might be feeding a baby or your toddler. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, relax. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the noise. We've got you. If you'd like to ask a question during the class, it's super easy. You'll see on our event landing page in the top left corner, there's an Ask a Question button. Simply click on the Ask a Question, and a box will pop up for you to type your question and submit it. I will be monitoring and speaking out your questions throughout the class, so you can ask as many questions as you want, and you can put your name on the question or leave it anonymous. We're also recording the class, so you don't need to take notes, and we'll send everyone a link to the recording with a few days, along with some additional resources and links to today's sponsor. So feel free to relax, sit back, and enjoy the call. Before we get started, I want to introduce our expert, and I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsor of today's class, Happy Family. Now for a little background. Happy Family is one of the largest and fastest-growing organic food brands to offer a comprehensive line of nutritious foods for babies, toddlers, kids, and their mothers. Beginning with a baby's first 1,000 days, Happy Family provides an enlightened assortment of organic meals and snacks to help support a lifetime of wellness. So thank you so much to Happy Family. And now on to our awesome expert. Today we have with us Amy Marlowe. Amy Marlowe is the nutrition advisor for Happy Family. She is a registered dietitian and a New York State certified nutritionist with a bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics and a master's degree in public health. Amy worked as a pediatric dietitian at the Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and has consulted for youth development programs and the National Cancer Institute's five-a-day program. Amy is a published author, blogger, and has presented a variety of nutrition and health topics to professionals and to the public. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Amy and again welcome you to Picky Eaters from Happy Families. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Thank you, Hillary. Thank you for having me today, Mommy Bites. I have been the nutrition advisor for Happy Family for 10 years now, since they launched in 2006. And so over the years, I have had the pleasure of speaking with and to literally hundreds of parents, maybe thousands by this point, about the joys and challenges of feeding babies and young children. And I personally have three kids. The youngest is four now, so I'm actually hopefully towards the end of that true picky eating window that most of us do experience with my four-year-old, and he is really a doozy. He's the pickiest of the bunch, so I have a lot of personal experience, real-world experience, and my expertise is in pediatric nutrition, so I'm excited to share all of that with you today. So I know you have some questions, and I'm looking forward to answering them.
Oh, excellent. Yes, I think we are all in the same boat with those picky eaters. And anyone who says they don't have a picky eater, I'm not sure I believe them. So we're all in it together. So why don't we just start with what causes picky eating and can it be prevented? Because that would be fabulous.
Yeah, so I think to answer that question, the best kind of step back to take is to really understand what causes picky eating, and then you'll understand kind of how to prevent it. And I do believe that it can be prevented to a certain degree. So to understand what causes picky eating, you have to know about the way we as, you know, humans form our food preferences from really in the womb. It's actually before birth that we start forming our food preferences. And the kind of key time period for forming food preferences is up until around age 4. So that's why I'm hoping that I'm almost in the clear with my 4-year-old. I've made it through to age 4. This is really kind of the hotbed of food preference development, and this is when you know, we can have an impact on whether or not our kids become picky eaters into their childhood. So we know that a child's food preferences is really based about half on biology, so stuff like their genes, their taste buds, their digestive systems, any sensitivities they might have been born with, and even their temperament. So all of that kind of their biology and who they are really does impact their development of food preferences. So that's half of it that, of course, we really can't change. We can't change their biology. But the other half is really based on experience. So their exposure and their associations with food, you know, being exposed to foods, if they've developed good habits or bad habits in those early years, that's their experience. You know, positive or negative experiences with food and with feeding, all of these things can lead to picky eating. So the good news is that because half of it is their experience, and we as parents, for the most part, can control their food experiences for the first few years of their lives, you know, yes, I think the answer ultimately to your question is it can be prevented, or really, it can be managed, and then, you know, you can prevent it from becoming too much of an issue later in their childhood when we take action early.
Okay. So let me ask you, is there anything that pregnant moms can do to start shaping their baby's food preferences? Because I think our class is going to be a variety of people who have children, some pregnant moms, and some different mm-hmm. ages.
Yeah, definitely. So as I mentioned before, the development of food preferences really does start in the womb. And that's because a baby's first experience with flavor is actually when they are developing in that amniotic sac in the womb, which is amazing. And it's just incredible research that they do on this. So basically, the amniotic fluid, by the second half of pregnancy, when your baby is actually able to kind of gulp down that fluid and they're swallowing that fluid and inhaling that fluid in the womb, and that fluid is actually scented with the different flavors of foods that you've ingested as the mom. So basically, they've looked at flavors like vanilla, carrots, garlic, mint, and many others. And they studied it in amniotic fluid, and they've also studied it in breast milk to see if the flavors kind of transfer. And one article that I read actually said that every single flavor that has been studied does show up in breast milk, at least. I'm not 100% sure if that's also true of amniotic fluid, but many of these flavors have been shown to actually show up there. So these exposures to foods, they've studied babies that were exposed to carrot either before they were born or in breast milk, they actually accepted carrots more easily as, you know, 6-7 month olds who were just eating at the table. So that's really fascinating, and it really kind of hammers home the point that exposing your baby to flavors, a variety of flavors, early and often in their, you know, early development is one of the key things that we can do to help develop healthy food preferences. So that's the flavors are the one piece of the prenatal picture. And then the other piece is to really limit your own junk food consumption, because there's been some research on how, you know, junk food When you eat junk food, especially if you eat too much of it, it actually causes the release of feel-good hormones in your body. And this is kind of how we become addicted to, you know, to French fries and other stuff that we shouldn't be overindulging in, because it feels good. It feels good to eat those foods. So what happens is they think that babies who are exposed to too much of that those circulating feel-good hormones in response to the junk food may actually develop less sensitivity to the effects of those chemicals and build up a tolerance for the substances that cause release of those chemicals. So some studies have suggested that going easy on the junk food is one way that you can kind of help your baby not to, lack sensitivity and therefore be more kind of at risk for becoming kind of addicted, so to speak, to those kinds of things later.
Gotcha. We've had some people that started, joined us a little bit late. So I want to remind everyone that you are on mute. However, if you have any questions, you can simply click on the Ask a Question tab and a box will pop up for you to type in your question and submit it. So please feel free. So I know we've kind of covered in utero, so maybe we can just go chronologically and start talking about infancy. So what are some of the strategies we can use when the baby's first starting to eat solid foods? I guess we should probably also talk about breastfeeding and throw that in there. So infancy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. So the first strategy, like you just mentioned, breastfeeding, that's a key part. And as I just mentioned before, the flavors of the foods that you eat do show up in your breast milk, and they could it could really improve your baby's preference for those foods. So it's really important to kind of eat a varied, healthy diet when you're breastfeeding. And eat the kinds of foods that you want your baby to grow up to enjoy, because the exposure to that does happen very early. So in terms of picky eating, I think that's really the piece of the breastfeeding picture that I'd want to mention. And in terms of starting solid foods, you know, closer to 6 months of age, infancy, really actually the first year of a baby's experience with eating solid foods, so from 6 months to, say, 18 months, that's really when babies are shown to be the most open to new foods, the most moldable when it comes to their food preferences. So there's a lot that can be done in infancy to kind of set your child up for success later in terms of, you know, not being too picky and accepting of a good variety of healthy foods. The first thing is really kind of more mechanical, is not to force solids when the baby's not ready, because they're figuring out swallowing and sitting and how to manage the bites and, you know, what to do with their tongue and all of that kind of the mechanics of the eating. If they're not ready or if they're not interested and you're forcing food, then that's a real negative experience and a bad association that they might develop to mealtime and to food. So really you want to keep it very low key when you're introducing solids. Don't ever force it. You know, you don't want your baby to have a bad association with meals. Make it really peaceful. For myself, two of my own kids, my first two children, just flat out refused to eat solids the first few times. And it was difficult for me as a dietitian who specializes in feeding the babies, that, you know, they wouldn't even take a spoon of something that I wanted to give them. And it was time for them to start solids. They turned 6 months old. They were sitting and they appeared to be ready, but they just flat out refused. So the best thing you can do in that situation is just, you know, stop. Don't proceed with that little experiment for that day. And sure enough, after about a week, I came back with something maybe a little yummier. I had some nice fresh pureed peaches, and that I think maybe was a little more appealing than whatever I had tried the first time. And sure enough, they opened their mouth and they've been eating ever since. So I say that, you know, not forcing it is a really important thing. And then the other piece with infancy is really the multiple exposure to a variety of foods. And I'll definitely, you might get sick of me saying that during this hour, because that's really the most important thing, is multiple exposures and variety. Because the more variety of flavors and types of foods that your baby's exposed to in these early days, when they're actually willing to open their mouths for it, you know, that's, they're learning how to eat those foods. And so there's a better chance that they're going to accept those foods in the future. Maybe not every single day. And there's definitely patches in toddlerhood and preschool, you know, age that we'll talk about where they kind of decide that they're not going to eat something that they've eaten for years. But it really is the best way to set your baby up for success. And one more thing I'd say about that aspect of this, with the multiple exposures to variety of foods, is that remember that your baby is not you. So personally, I hate peas. And for months when my babies were little, I would forget to buy peas and serve them peas because it's a food that I happen to not enjoy. But, you know, just because I don't enjoy it doesn't mean that they might not enjoy it. So on the one hand, you want your baby to eat the foods that your family eats because, you know, you want them to join you at the family table and participate as you know, as one of your family members. But at the same time, if there are things that you dislike, don't project that onto your child because, you know, you don't want them to miss out on variety if you yourself are a picky eater. So that's the other thing I'd say about that.
All right. I think we can maybe interject a question from the group right now. And the question is there a right first food? You know, is it oatmeal? Is it rice cereal? Like, how do I know what the right first food is? And now we have all these other grains that they could be eating.
Yeah, this is a great question. And this advice has definitely kind of tweaked over the years. I mean, it used to be kind of common practice that rice cereal really was the first food that we would recommend. And, you know, Happy Family as a company has a great line of cereals. And, you know, I used all of them with my children as well. In terms of the very first food, we're now saying that it doesn't have to be rice cereal. Rice cereal is nice and mild, and it's, you know, a very low risk of someone being, you know, kind of having their stomach irritated by it, for instance, or being allergic to it or any of those things. And that's, I think, why it was always a common first food. But really what they're saying now is that you can introduce any food first. I mean, you could introduce pureed beef if you wanted to. I don't know that I'd recommend it because who wants to have that be their first eating experience? Mm. But personally, I mentioned before, I went with peaches. Peaches smell delicious. They taste delicious. The color is very bright and appealing. And, you know, I thought that that would be a nice introduction to food, and you know, and it went well. I know a lot of people use avocado because it's an easy food that they have in their house. They can mash it up, mix it with some breast milk to get it to a little bit more of a soft texture, and, you know, and they can give that. But there's no right or wrong at this point. It's really an open field. So, you know, sometimes that freedom is scary to new parents because, oh, just tell me what to do. But really, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't see any more questions about infancy. But again, you can submit a question, and I will definitely try my best to get to everyone's questions. So maybe we should move into toddlers. Toddlers are notorious for being stubborn and picky eaters. So how are we handling that? Is that normal? What do we do here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toddlers, that's definitely, so up until about 18 months, like I said before, you have a lot of leeway, and your baby is going to tend to be very accepting of lots of different foods. So that's really kind of your great window of opportunity, because once they hit the toddler stage, a bunch of stuff happens developmentally that makes picky eating very normal. And, you know, just because it's normal doesn't mean that this is a time for us to kind of give in, and I'll talk to some of those tips in a minute, but it definitely is more normal. And one of the reasons why is because their growth slows very dramatically at this stage. So in the first year of their life, they gained, you know, consider, you know, your child probably gained 15 pounds, say, in the first year. And that's, you know, a big gain in 1 year, and they have a big appetite to suit that. But in the second year, they're only going to gain about 5 pounds. So if you think about it, they don't necessarily have that growth driving them as much to eat. And then at the same time, they have all of these distractions at that age. They're just becoming increasingly social. They're distracted. They're starting to do things for effect. Like they're reading your reactions, and they might be playing off of that. So if they get a big reaction every time they refuse to eat something, that might become appealing to them. Oh, I want to see mom do that again, you know. So there's lots of things like that going on. They want to be independent. And then they also have this kind of personality trait, if you will, called neophobia that comes about in toddlerhood, and it lasts into the preschool years, which is basically the fear of new things. So consider it, in terms of their eating, really a fear of new foods. And so it's very normal for them to want to eat the same thing over and over and over because they're kind of afraid to try new things at that stage. And even if it's something that they had as a baby, if it hasn't been in the regular rotation and it seems new to them again, then that's something that might kind of turn them off. I mean, think about, you know, even they want the same book read to them every single night. That is the same thing. They don't want something new. They just want dependable things that they know that they like. So the strategies that I'll share about toddlerhood kind of all relate to these developmental aspects of what's going on, and you may not be able to overcome them and kind of get them to eat the way you want them to, but if you kind of stay the course of some of these good ways to feed toddlers that I'll talk about, then on the other side of things, like at age 4, 5, 6, they'll settle down and they'll come back to, you know, the healthy eating that you've been trying to kind of build the foundation for.
Can we interject another great question that just came in from the group?
Yeah.
What about the importance of mealtime routine? Like, do you need to eat at the same time every day? Do you need to sit in the same time? We know that toddlers like repetition. So what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, so I'd say by the time that they are one and you're really kind of bringing them to the family table, I think that you should incorporate them into your regular mealtime routine. Up until that time, you know, just based on my own personal experience with having babies, sometimes it's just not that realistic, especially if you only have one baby. You know, you're kind of feeding them on the go a little more. You don't necessarily have a routine yet for mealtimes because your family is kind of new. And it's not quite as important during that first year. But I would say once they are a year old and they're just more aware of these things, a routine really does help. Having them, you know, definitely sit at the table in whatever kind of chair, you know, you choose to put them in, as opposed to feeding them on the go or feeding them in another room or letting them sit on the couch or the floor. You know, setting up those kind of healthy mealtime behaviors, however your family does it and however you would want them to do it at age 2, 3, 4, it's a good idea to start that at age 1, I think.
And another question that I think tags right onto this. I say this with a heavy sigh because this just takes over my life, snacks.
Yeah.
I mean, my kid is a little bit older. Kids are older, but yeah. Always snacks. Snacks, snacks.
Yeah.
Snacks. Everywhere we go, in the car, you know, yeah. To a meal, after a meal. What's the thought on snacks? And maybe for each age group.
Yeah. So, you know, that's actually one of my main tips for toddlers. So I'll start with that tip for the toddler stage. Don't over-snack. And also don't over-milk. You know, I think the younger toddlers, like ages like 1 to 2, a lot of times people say, oh, they just want to drink their milk. They just want to drink out of their sippy cup and drink their bottles or whatever it is. So it's kind of like the snack for that age before they're aware of what snacks are. I consider that kind of in the same category. But that's really, really important not to over-snack the toddlers and the preschoolers, and it's definitely the tendency, I think, of kids and the tendency of our culture now that, like, you just always have food. You know, it's kind of like I always have dog treats in my pocket. Like, parents always have snacks on them because what if they get hungry and they need a snack? Oh, my gosh, like, they're going to freak out. And I totally get that. But the problem is that when, you know, of course, if the kid's belly is full of snack, then they're not going to really have that drive to try the new food that's on their plate or even to try the old foods that are on their plate. So a couple of things about snacks that can kind of help matters is choosing the right snacks. So if you know, your child needs a certain amount of nutrition in a 24-hour period, say, they doesn't all have to be at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A lot of it can be at snack time. So, you know, making sure the snacks are filling those nutritional needs, like, are they fruits and vegetables? Could you get some dairy or protein into them? You know, and then that way it's like, it's not as big of a deal, because if they had, you know, a banana with peanut butter and a glass of milk at 2 o'clock, you know, that's a good chunk of nutrition. And then by 5 o'clock, they can have their dinner, and it's, you know, their appetite hasn't been ruined. But even if let's say their appetite was a little bit suppressed by the snack they had, at least the snack was nutrition, you know. Empty calories are really where you get into a problem with this age group. The, you know, Goldfish and pretzels and all of these things that kind of don't have that much nutritional value. Because then they're not going to be able to fit the good nutrition that they need for the day. And I think a lot of it is like any other thing with parenting. It's really just limit setting, and that's really difficult to do if our society is not on board and everywhere you go people are feeding your kids snacks. So sometimes it's just kind of taking that firm stand and setting a time is what we always did in my house once the kids were, you know, preschool age, like 3, 4, 5, we had snack time. So, you know, it's 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And if it's not 10 o'clock or 3 o'clock and you're still hungry, then, oh, you know what, your lunch is still on the plate. The lunch that you didn't eat is still on the plate there or in the fridge. I packed it up for you. That's what you're eating right now because it's not snack time yet. And, you know, maybe you're hungry because you didn't finish your lunch, that kind of thing. And I try to be real firm with that 10 and 3 snack time. And also the other thing is I say that the 10 o'clock snack has to be from the refrigerator. And that kind of by default makes it either a yogurt or a fruit or, you know, something of value right. As opposed to the quote-unquote closet, as my 4-year-old calls it. And, you know, you get more kind of snacky foods there.
Maybe we can take one more question on snack before we move to the next topic. Healthy snack suggestions. Everybody's looking for that magical snack. So I know you said banana and peanut butter, but if we are on the go or if it is from the cabinet, how can we make it a little healthier? Like if it is the pretzels and goldfish, what can we do to jazz that up a little bit?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's a lot of whole foods that do pack really nicely on the go. You know, there are, you know, individually packed yogurts and yogurt drinks, and you can just put a little ice pack in a little bag, and it's just as easy as throwing a goldfish packet in the bag. You know, fresh fruit, vegetables that have been pre-chopped can, you know, travel nicely. Cheese slices can travel fine. You know, when you're looking for something like that kind of easy goldfish pretzel kind of snack, there's plenty of things on the market these days. I mean, this is really like an amazing time for parents, and it's overwhelming how many choices there are, and I think that can be a problem sometimes. But if you kind of carefully look on the shelves, there are so many products now that are based on whole foods for, you know, and even for children. And you can find things that don't have that much added sugar. I think that's one major thing to look for. Definitely nothing with, like, added color or preservatives or anything like that. I mean, this is, you know, not a commercial for Happy Family by any means, but Happy Family actually has a ton of foods that are, I would say, more towards, like, the snack kind of, you know, product type. But almost all of them are fortified with certain nutrients that are important for young children, like maybe omega-3 fats or fiber. So you can find, if you look, I think you can find a lot of these packaged foods. Not all packaged foods are going to be bad snacks. You can definitely find some in today's world if you're not the one, you know, if you're not the mom that, like, makes the homemade, you know, whole grain little mini muffins that you're packing up. I mean, you know, it's great if you are. But if you're not, you can find those products. It's just a matter of looking for them.
Okay. I think we could probably do a whole class on snack based on the questions here.
Oh, goodness.
So,
can I give you some more toddler tips that we didn't get to
yes,
yet?
Yes, well, that's what I was going to say. Maybe we can go back now to our picky toddlers because this is called, you know, picky eating.
Great. Yeah, definitely. So we already talked about over-snacking, and that's one of my main key strategies for this age group. The other thing, that the number one tip that I always give, and I said it before and I'll say it again probably throughout the talk, is really multiple exposures, trying over and over again. So what that looks like with a toddler is not the same as it looks like with a baby. With a baby, you really are in such control of the eating environment. Like, you get the spoon and the little, you know, pouch of food or the homemade puree that you've made, and you can feed them whatever you want. And they don't know to look for any other choices. With toddlers, they're starting to be more aware of the fact that there might be other choices. So one of the things that I really like to do is to just put it on the table. Just put it on the family table, put it on their plate, and exposure doesn't have to even be a taste. Exposure could just be even seeing it on the table and seeing it on their plate. Because remember, they are afraid of new things. So if they've never seen something before, the hurdle to get them to eat it is pretty high. But if they've at least seen it before, maybe one day they'll be able to taste it. And if they're able to taste it, maybe one day they'll actually take a few bites. So I would say exposing them to the foods by actually just having them around is a really important step, and not to give up on that. So we did a Twitter chat the other day, and I think someone said, you know, how many exposures do I really need to do? Like, for instance, for broccoli, I've exposed my toddler to broccoli 15 times, and he still doesn't take it. So what I would say to that is you don't have to try to feed them the broccoli more than 15 times, but again, keep that broccoli in rotation in your meals. Put it out as the vegetable at dinner. If they don't want to eat it, then that's actually okay. But seeing it is actually going to help. It might not help that particular day, and so don't consider it a failed attempt if they don't actually eat it. The fact that they're seeing it and they're kind of getting used to it being around, you don't know the day that they're going to say, oh, yeah, I'll try that today. And that actually brings me to one other thing that you need to think about with babies and toddlers, and actually kids of all ages, is it's something that feeding experts call the division of responsibility. And the idea is that the parent has some responsibility in this picture, but the kids also have a job to do. And what your responsibility is as a parent is to provide them with opportunities to eat good, healthy foods. It's their job to decide whether or not to eat it. And this is really hard for some parents because you want them to eat that healthy food so badly that you kind of want to push it. But the most important thing that you can do is actually never to push it. It's really you're doing your job by getting it onto their plate or by getting it onto the table and by modeling that. And if they decide not to eat it, the best thing you can do is just not to make a big deal out of it. Because as a toddler, as I said before, if you make a big deal out of it, they will tend to be like, oh, mom gets all crazy on me when I don't eat this. Like, when I throw this broccoli on the floor, she goes nuts. I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's awesome. Depending on the temperament of your child, that could happen. So really just kind of being real chill about it, and using your role modeling and, you know, these exposures to just help them to kind of get in the groove of healthy eating, even if they're not actually eating those foods, even if they only choose the pasta to eat on that plate. The exposure is still doing something. And then the other thing is really you can expect them to get into these food jags where they just want the same thing over and over again. Like, every day they want macaroni and cheese, or every day they want, you know, their carrot sticks, say, if you're really lucky, that's their food jag. And so you should expect that to be the case, but you don't have to indulge them in that. Like, just because they want something every day and that they might throw a little tantrum or be really upset if you don't give them that, you know, cheese stick that they like every single day for breakfast, it doesn't mean that you have to give in to that. And I really believe in lying to children at that age. Oh, we don't have any, or oh, they didn't have any at the store. You'll have to try this one instead, because, you know, they'll follow that cue, and it will help them eventually develop. When they're developmentally ready, it will help them to kind of overcome that. So those are some of my toddler tips.
All right. So now moving on. So my child is a preschooler, Is it too late to change their picky eating? Because I think some of us feel like, oh, they're messed up now.
Yeah.
I didn't do it right.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, honestly, with my four-year-old, there are days that I'm like, did I do it right? I mean, I'm pretty sure I did. But, man, they can be really difficult at 3 and 4 when it comes to kind of really digging their heels in on stuff. But it's not really ever too late. I mean, the best thing you can do in the first 2-3 years is the kinds of things I've talked about before, really, like those exposures and, you know, kind of keeping things real positive and chill and not giving in to them, but kind of respecting where they are developmentally. All that stuff is great and will lay a great foundation, and you could still get to the preschool age and have a problem. But it's not too late. You know, personally, my husband, when I met him when he was 22, he was still a picky eater, and then he kind of grew up after that. So it really is never too late. Their food preferences do continue to form at this age. Their fear of new things is actually going to start, you know, developmentally. It's going to start to diminish, and they're going to start to be a little more open, a little bit more moldable by some other factors, you know, in their environment. If you have a really picky preschooler, you know, don't be surprised if you continue to see food gags and fear of new things that they had when they were a toddler. But it's definitely getting better, and it can be overcome in this stage. So older children actually are going to take even more exposures to foods than toddlers do. So, you know, one of the things that I've read is that it can take up to 15 exposures for a preschooler to accept a new food. And again, remember, an exposure is not necessarily a taste of it. It's just having it on their plate. It's seeing it. It's knowing that it's there. And being given the choice with no pressure or power struggle to try it. So it can take up to 15 times, and that is a lot. I think the research shows that a lot of parents give up after about 3. You know, oh, I guess little Johnny doesn't like broccoli. You know, I'm taking that out of the rotation. You know, you have to just recognize that it could take many more exposures. So just like kind of always keep trying, you know, take it out of the rotation for a little while, but then make sure it comes back. You know, give it another try is really something that's very important for preschoolers.
A question that just came in about preschoolers. What about the whole concept of, like, positive peer pressure? So, for example, they're at preschool and they're given a snack they don't like, but they see a friend eating it. How has that worked, and how can we use that to our advantage?
Oh, definitely. That's a huge factor for preschoolers. And so, I mean, one way that you can use that to your advantage, I mean, it's great if you have, if the child has, well, this can actually be a double-edged sword. If the child has older siblings, sometimes it's bad, because if my older children say, that's gross, or I don't like that, then suddenly the four-year-old is sure that it's gross or that he's not going to like that. So it can definitely go one that way. But on the other hand, if your older children or if there's, you know, cousins or neighbors or any children around that have healthy eating habits, definitely have meals with those kids, because preschoolers are definitely going to just accept something more easily if their peers are doing it, or if an older kid that they think is cool is doing it. That's definitely a great thing to leverage if you can use that. And role modeling and, you know, family-style meals helps with that too, you know, getting the food on the table and letting everyone help themselves, and that child sitting there watching, you know, what everyone else is taking, and that can definitely influence them. And then on the other side of that, if there's really picky, you know, picky friends and picky siblings, you know, that's something to try to manage too. You know, any way that you can limit that, those discussions, you know, whether it's kind of making a family rule for the older child who knows better that they can't say something negative. If they don't like something, they can simply say no thank you, and shaping the family meal time like that is going to be really important for preschoolers. The other thing about
we go back to that statement, don't yuck my yum, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And like for the older children, you know, you can make kind of rules and consequences around that, whereas a 3-4-year-old isn't necessarily going to be able to, you know, kind of understand that yet. But the other thing about this is one of the tips that I really like for toddlers and preschoolers, that's really important for preschoolers, is don't ever label them out loud as being picky. You know, don't make it kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that your child's not going to eat something, or, oh, you know, Johnny only likes pasta or only likes white food. You know, you can think that and you can talk about that with your partner or with their pediatrician or, you know, other adults. But when your child hears that they're picky or that they don't like something, it just reinforces that. And that starts to be kind of part of the story that they tell themselves at the table. Oh, well, I don't like green things, and there's a green thing over there. And so, you know, it kind of sounds like, you know, pop psychology, but it's like really so true when it comes to, you know, preschooler behavior at the table. So I would say, you know, kind of similarly with the peer pressure, like the way that they see themselves is really developing at this age. So don't label them and don't make a big deal out of their picky eating, because, you know, you don't want them to kind of internalize that. If that's who I am, you know.
Gotcha. Again, I want to remind everyone, if you want to ask a question, trying to get to all of them, you can click on the part that says ask a question in the tab, and then a box will pop up for you to type in your question. So maybe we can move on to the extreme picky eaters, and when should I really be concerned? And then if I'm really concerned, what should I do about it?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and so what I the best answer that I can give for that is that you have to defer to your pediatrician or your healthcare provider that knows your child to let you know when there is a concern, because especially in infancy and toddlerhood, they're at the doctor a lot, they're being weighed and measured a lot, and your doctor is going to tell you and going to track that growth, because the best way that you can figure out if your child's getting enough nutrition, really, I mean, there are subtleties that you won't be able to see this way, but really to look at their growth, not their size, but their growth. And know that only about 5%, 5 to 10% of U.S. children are technically, you know, they call failure to thrive, like truly not getting enough to have proper growth. I mean, there may be times when, oh, you know, the child's not growing that well, you need to make sure he's getting, you know, enough calories or whatever. But truly, you know, truly delayed growth and development is rare. So I say that because you don't want to worry for no reason. Just being picky and eating the same five foods, you know, over and over again for a few weeks or months tends not to, in the great scheme of things, be that big of a deal nutritionally. But if you're tracking your child's growth and the growth starts to fall off, then that might be a time that you would have a conversation with your health care provider, like, what do we need to do here? So in terms of, like, are they getting enough, I would say growth is a good way to look at that. And then there are other things that happen when you're feeding babies and toddlers with respect to, like, sensitivities. Like, there are some babies that are just very sensitive to certain textures or certain flavors, or there might be kind of oral development issues with swallowing and other kind of reasons like that that would lead them to be picky. You know, if a child's refusing to eat, you know, that's something to check out, because maybe they're having trouble swallowing. Maybe they need some occupational therapy or speech therapy to coordinate the mechanics of the eating. Babies with reflux are, you know, some things might not be as comfortable for them, or at times they're not as comfortable. So all of these can kind of show up as my kid's picky. But just look out for some of the clues as to, you know, maybe there's something beyond just kind of, you know, their refusal is just because they're picky. If there's other things going on, that, you know, definitely talk to your doctor about getting some professional help with that.
Okay. Before we run out of time, because we're coming up on it, I want to stop and really give you a thank you, Amy, and thanks to Happy Family for putting together this really informative teleclass. Your sponsorship today continues to allow moms from all over the country and all over the world to take our classes for free. So I want to give a huge shout out. Thank you. Maybe we can just kind of finish up with any other tips to avoid a mealtime struggle. We just want to have a nice meal tonight.
Yeah. So So getting the meal tonight to be not a struggle is a harder order. But in general, kind of trying to set up your meal time so that you have fewer struggles. I think one of the things I didn't mention yet is to really avoid, I call it short order cooking. Like, you know, when you go up to a counter and you say, I want my eggs this way and I want my toast this way, and the chef behind there just kind of makes it for you. And also parallel meals. So making your toddler or your preschooler a different meal than what you're serving at the table for the rest of the family, that is going to get you in a lot of trouble over time. And that's going to set yourself up for struggles at the table. Because when your kid is then, you know, his expectation is that he gets special meal. You know, he gets chicken nuggets and mashed potatoes because that's the only food that he likes. Everyone else can eat the pork chops and the collard greens and, you know, the quinoa that mom made, but I don't have to eat that. That's going to set you up for a problem. So I think I would say one of my main tips to set yourself up for success is to, just from the very beginning, get in the habit of bringing your child to the family table with the rest of the family, and respecting that they might not eat everything on their plate and they might not eat everything on the table, but that they need to be part of your family from the first day. And I think that that is hard to do sometimes. And the way that I do it in practice is I always make sure there's something on the table that my picky eater will eat. So even though I'm not planning on really serving, let's say, I mean, this is an extreme example, but I'm not planning on giving bread and butter tonight with this meal, but you know what? I'm going to put a plate with some bread and butter on the table because that way my four-year-old feels like he's eating something that I've served, even though he doesn't know it, but I've put that on the table expressly so that he has something that he will eat because I know he's not going to eat this other thing that I made. So, but the child doesn't have to know that. And as long as the child doesn't know that there's been an accommodation made for them, they are learning that they are eating the food that's served to them at the table with the rest of the family, and that will get you a long way.
Okay, that's a lot to remember. I'm going to try and stick to that one because I'm definitely guilty of being a short order cook. So
yeah.
I'm going to really rethink it. So I think we're just about out of time. So you guys have all been great. Some really good questions that came in, and I'm glad we could talk to the different age groups. We know that Amy has gone over a wealth of terrific information today. So once again, in like the next few days, we'll send you a link to the recorded class along with some great resources and obviously a link to Happy Family so you can check out some of the snacks and foods that we were discussing instead of going to what Amy calls her snack closet. So a huge thank you to you, Amy, for your wonderful expertise. You're really a true expert, but you can clearly hear the passion you feel about this topic, and I think it's great that you have such experience with three kids and you have a picky eater, because sometimes we think, oh, she knows what she's doing. She doesn't get it.
Oh, no.
I think you know it, so I think that's really a great way to connect with some of the moms that we have on this call. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I want to wish everyone a great day and hope to connect with all of you again. So thank you,
Amy. Thanks, Hillary. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.